This is where normal comes to die. Mediocrity meets its final demise, and the status quo is unabashedly dismantled. Welcome to Reinvention Radio. Now, here's your host, Steve Ulscher.
Alrighty, welcome to another edition here of Reinvention Radio. Yay! Steve Ulscher hanging out with Mary Galay.
You are so scary.
What was that? Do you vote yes for the future, or is that a no for the future on that one? That's a Rizzo.
Is that what?
So my oldest is going through, you know, his adolescence thing right now. He just turned 13. So that was my ode to his change. Yeah. Okay. And joined by the lovely Jenny Mustafa Julak, best Brazilian jiu-jitsu like name ever. Julak, that is totally mine.
From Lion King.
Yes. Thank you for taking time out of the cartoon to be with us here, and for stopping your Brazilian jiu-jitsu as a Jew to join us and be here as Jenny.
Jenny
from the block.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
Jenny from the block is with us here because, of course, that's the first thing you want to be thought of is Jennifer Lopez. I can
it's
see it.
It's better than Tommy Two-Tone. I'm just going to say it.
So, all right. So, thanks for being here. You came all the way down from L.A., which is not really that far, but in the scheme of things, from L.A., it could be, you know, 36 hours to get down to the studio. But you were smart and you took the train with the Wi-Fi and with all of the stuff that is needed now to move from point A to point B. And at some point here, when there are autonomous cars, which there will be, I've been telling my youngest, Xavier, that he will probably will never drive a car. I think that he will never drive a car. He's 9. I think by the time he's 16, when they do licenses, everything will be autonomous. That's my take on it. But for those of us who still occasionally drive from L.A. to San Diego, we know that taking the train is a much smarter move. So right off the bat, we have determined that you are a smart person. So
I'm so excited about that.
Yay. All right. So welcome here. And we're going to be talking about reinventing your inner critic. And as I'm saying all of these things, what is your inner critic thinking right now?
Oh, my God, you're going to screw this up at any moment. You're going to make a complete ass of yourself.
And the times that you think that, how many times do you actually screw this up and make a complete ass out of yourself? Like on 1 to 100, how many times?
Yeah, 90. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. No, most of the time I don't let her drive. I stick her in the back seat.
Yeah. So. But I think it's a great point because, like, what's the worst that can happen? Because that's where I think a lot of people get stuck and this whole inner critic thing kicks in. And they get kind of this whole mindfuck thing where they're like, this is what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen. This, that, and the other. How do you look at it in terms of what do you instruct your folk to do?
So here's the thing. You get this crazy thought in your head from your inner critic, as you say. I call her Hilda because she needed a silly name. You get this thought in your head and it makes you feel really crummy because you haven't thought it through. You didn't sit with the thought and actually ask yourself, really, what's the worst that could happen? What's the best case scenario if it goes your way? No, you just feel that thought. You hear that thought and you feel really crummy and then you act accordingly.
Mm-hmm. It's usually like a trigger. That's like a pre-trained trigger thing, and all of a sudden you have a thought and you feel yucky and you're like, well, wait a minute.
Exactly.
I don't need it to go this way this time.
Right, if you catch the thought before it gets to the feeling. It's kind of like you got to catch it in the air almost, which is kind of silly, and I recognize that. But the thought's ridiculous, so we got to approach it with ridiculousness.
So does it become like a self-fulfilling prophecy? Like when you get that inner critic telling you this is going to happen, that's going to happen, you suck, and you know all the things that we say to ourselves, and sometimes out loud to ourselves, which is even worse because then, like, it's one thing to say all these things to yourself, but then you start saying these things to yourself in public out loud,
like you do every week on our show.
They look at you a lot differently,
and it's all baloney. The things that you say, self-deprecating, sometimes you are like trying to convince us.
I try,
and we're just looking at you, Rich, and I just look at you like.
But my
brilliance,
it's still over. Yeah, you know better at this point. Yes. Now, the listeners, on the other hand, they don't know me quite as well as you do. So, Jenny.
Yes.
Talk to us. All right, so the inner critic thing. So you got this whole thing. It's going on in your head. Is it a self-fulfilling prophecy?
It is if you listen to her and you don't realize it's not you. I mean, the whole point of this work is to figure out how to differentiate Hilda's happy nonsense and all the crap she's filling your head with of you suck, you suck, you suck, which is designed to keep you small and make sure that you stay safe and you don't do anything very frivolous or exciting or risky. If you can differentiate that from what's actually true, your actual thoughts, then you're golden. And so the way that I look at it is Hilda's a demented documentarian, right? She's been collecting all kinds of crappy messages all the time. Mm-hmm. And those messages that really resonate, that really trigger you, as you were saying, Mary, those triggers are the ones that came from your mom or that lady in high school or for me.
Or Steve.
She points at Steve.
She points right at me. Thank you.
Right. And so if you hear it in those voices, it creates that trigger and you instantly feel a certain way and then act accordingly. We have to cut her off.
So paint the picture here, because for those who don't have the book, and it's Hilda, tackle your inner naysayer, get out of your own way, and unleash your badassery, which, by the way, I shop at Badassery all the time. It's one of my favorite stores. But paint the picture here, because Hilda has a very specific look, and this is a character that's a little near and dear to your heart.
Yeah, so she is annoyingly pretty. Mm-hmm. She's that girl in high school I kind of hated. She's a mix of that girl in high school and my stepmom. I'm just going to say it. Like, if they morphed them together, that's what she looks like. And I had a great illustrator who was able to somehow capture that. But she is constantly sassy. She's a bully. She's a mean girl.
It's like Mean Girls, right?
Yeah, it's exactly like Mean Girls.
So who's the blonde in Mean Girls? Who was that? I can't remember her name for the life of me.
Rachel McAdams.
Was that the blonde?
Well, that's the actress.
I don't know. There was a
Regina
few.
George.
Is that the one?
Yeah.
I was going to say, I don't think I've ever seen it. I just can picture like the four girls walking down the hall in their little swagger.
Was Lindsay Lohan in that?
Yes.
Lindsay Lohan. I think that's the one I was thinking of. Mm-hmm. And her inner critic came out right after that movie, I think. And
she's driving. And she's driving.
And never could get Hilda out of her life. And
there's the self-sabotage right there.
Yeah. Okay. So take us through. Look, let's be honest. You're not the first person to come up with the concept of how do we quiet the voice? How do we get our inner badassery out on the table? What makes your teachings unique, other than the fact that you are clearly not, as you put it, a woo-woo spiritual, kind of teacher? And it's almost like we were almost saying like a little satirical kind of look on it. But there's still, some obviously really good teachings in there. So kind of take us through what you do in your own unique way to help people get through that.
Thank you. Yeah. So
a great question?
That's a really great question. You should get a point for that one. sorry, Mary. So I am the Audacity Coach, and I've been doing that for 10 years. And what that means is I work with people who are on the brink of something spectacular, but they can't get out of their own freaking way to make it happen. Mm-hmm. I help them get out of the way, right? In a nutshell. And Hilda has been this silly little tool in my toolbox for a very, very long time. I did not want to be the Hilda Coach, because that just seems so negative. Mm-hmm. But you're right. So many people have talked about the inner critic, the inner saboteur, your lizard brain, the taming the gremlin. It's been all cutesy and serious and obnoxious. And so I wanted to do a completely different take. Every time I've introduced Hilda to one of my coaching clients or to somebody I'm speaking to, they're immediately amused by it. I tell them to name their Hilda Pickett. It can be whatever you want. Mm-hmm. She's been called all these things. And instantly, you can start to deal with the messages she puts in your head. Mm-hmm. Because now you can attribute them to a cartoon character who lives in your brain. It's so silly. It's so ridiculous. Guess what? So are those messages. Mm-hmm. And now you start calling each other on, I hear your Hilda there. And you'll do this from now on. I'm sorry. Just, I've done that to you.
So Hilda's like the personification of that goes on within, and by giving it a face, by giving it a name, and making her, I will say, kind of hot.
She's cute.
Let's be honest, Rich. Yeah, hot. Do you, yeah,
it's a cartoon character, Steve.
Hey,
the cartoon.
Have you seen that bunny? You know the bunny I'm talking about. What's the bunny? Which bunny? The Jessica Rabbit.
Yeah,
there you go.
Come on, Jessica Rabbit is smoke. If you were going to do a rabbit, right? Like, I mean, let's just say hypothetically, you had to do a rabbit. Rich, Jessica.
My brain's not working.
Yeah, okay, fine. All right, so.
I have to do
yes, but you were going to say, okay, scale of 1 to 10, Hilda, hot, not hot. This Hilda.
10 cartoon hot.
Yeah, 10 cartoon hot.
There we go.
And by the way, have you ever met a Bertha or a Hilda that is hot?
I don't think so.
Yeah, there's just something like you hate your child. I think you hate your child. If you name your child, what was the witch name? And then there's a witch name, too. There's that one. Which name? Maybe it's a Wizard of Oz thing. I don't know, but there's
Elphaba.
for sure that.
Wow, you pulled that out of your ass.
But you really, I think you really hate your child if you name them Hilda or Bertha. They're destined for not greatness. All right, so Hilda, mm-hmm. this is the personification of that voice. And why do you think it helps to put a name and a face to it?
Well, it helps because then it gives you a place to come hit her with a comeback. I mean, if your best friend said some of the crap that's in your head, you would have a word or two to say about it, right? Yeah. So now we're personifying it, and now we can deal with it. So the next time you hear this kind of like, who do you think you are, mm-hmm. kind of noise in your head.
Is that how Hilda talks to you? Just
It varies. It
or is it more sort of like devilish? Like, who do you think you are?
It's usually really
Darth
bitchy.
Was that Darth Vader?
It's bitchy and... I mean, it looks like her in my mind. Everybody else, some people, it's like an old crone.
Does she do the finger wag and the neck, like, of rotation kind of thing?
Well,
like,
see,
who do you think you are?
Well, and here's what's interesting. As I was doing the research for the book, I realized that Hilda shows up to different people different ways. So mm-hmm. I found there's four different Hildas. There's I can't Hilda, who's, like, really bitchy. And then there's I shouldn't Hilda, who is trying to convince you that you shouldn't do anything. I can't Hilda wants to make sure you feel really, really crummy about yourself from the inside. And I shouldn't Hilda wants to make you feel really crummy from the outside. Like, mm-hmm. you shouldn't do this. You should do this. Mm-hmm. Then there's I don't know Hilda. She's just, like, panicked. She doesn't want you to start anything. She's freaked out. She's terrified that if you cross the starting line, you're going to fail. So let's eat bonbons. And then there's the really tricky I don't want a Hilda. She's actually like an enabler. Ooh, I got some candy for you. You know, she's kind of that girl. Mm-hmm. So her voice, depending on what she's saying, shows up in a very different way. But all four of these Hildas are on a mission to sabotage you, mm-hmm. to convince you to sabotage yourself.
Awesome. Okay, so we're going to have to take a quick break here on Reinvention Radio. It's CoachJenny.com.
Yes.
That is such. You got to see, we got to talk to Jay Fassette about getting a better Coach J. Coach Jenny, JENNIE.com. Awesome. All right, we'll be right back with Reinvention Radio right after this.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're in a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Ulcher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step by step through Steve's proven formula that is help so many get on the right path and be clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step for realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting TheReinventionWorkshop.com today. No more delays, no more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to TheReinventionWorkshop.com. That's TheReinventionWorkshop.com.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Ulcher.
All righty, welcome back to Reinvention Radio. As we are talking to Jenny Mustafa Julak. That's awesome. And
that's
Jake.
Like the only name you've not butchered.
I know, right?
Some of the other difficult names you butcher, but this one, you got it down.
You really do.
Jenny's easy. I think Jenny from the block. And then Mustafa, I think ISIS. And then Julak, I think Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. So,
no,
like,
Lion King.
So there we go. Oh, Lion King. Well, that's Mustafa or
Mufasa.
Mufasa, yeah.
That's close enough.
I prefer to go with the Lion King over ISIS if we can.
All right. So let's do this because we're talking about reinventing your inner critic, and, of course, all of us have it. So, Rich, what does your inner critic sound like?
Oh, man. Inner critic for me is probably more of a, like, don't mess with other people's stuff. You know, like, it's almost more like, they don't want to, maybe, I don't know. It's a good question. I mean, I was thinking about it.
So you deflect your inner critic.
It's kind of a deflection.
You're a deflector.
So are you worried about what other people are going to think, what other people are going to say? I just want to understand.
No, it's not really like what they're going to say. Let's say it mostly would be like, I'll back that up. I'd say maybe more of a like, who are you?
The imposter syndrome kind of stuff. Like, who do you think you are?
Yeah, like so you're the one that's going to come and say it? Like, that would probably be. Now, luckily, I slapped that fool. But
good for you.
It gets in there sometimes.
Wait, is it a male voice or a female voice?
It's a male voice.
Yeah?
It's the male voice.
Who do you think it is?
What's his name?
Dick.
That's funny.
By the way, check out. I know we're not going to talk politics because we're not going to talk politics. But lady went on CNN the other day. Classic. She referred to Trump as a thoughtless dick.
Wow.
And that's been viewed like 54 million times already. So she was like seriously professional and was just like, you know, had this whole like logical and just very, you know, great demeanor and all that. And yes, he's a thoughtless dick. And like just kind of snuck that in. And
make
like,
sure
wow.
you see this segment. Right?
Make sure you see that segment. Exactly. So it's a male voice.
Male voice.
Named Dick. And what sort of things does that inner critic say?
Dick's just like, who cares about that shit? People want money, mm-hmm. you know? They don't care about, like...
How about in relationships? Do you have the inner critic in relationships?
Not really too much in relationships.
Really?
Even with
your daughter? Never an inner critic with the daughter?
No, I think he's got such a tremendous understanding of the human psyche and vibe out people's energy and stuff that you got that down.
I'm almost better with dealing with others than with me by myself.
So this phrase, I am the world's worst father and my children suffer because I am their dad, that never enters your mind?
No.
God, that enters my mind all the time.
No, like if anything, I've sacrificed things that I think I should be doing to spend more time with my daughter. Which I think in the end will still pay off because she'll have a better foundation as I go to do those other things. So I'm finding that balance. I'm trying to find that balance.
Gotcha. But do you ever hear yourself saying, oh, I kind of want to do that. Oh, no, that's selfish. That would be too selfish. I need to.
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
So that would be the I shouldn't
correct.
Dick.
Yes.
Right?
You've got this
not
down.
Not Hilda, but the I shouldn't dick, okay, right?
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. And when does Dick say positive things to you? Like, what does it sound like when Dick is happy?
When Dick is happy, Dick. Well, the funny part is my guy's name is Dick, but Mary loves Dick.
Okay. According- I knew it was going to come up. All right. So let me clarify. I am seated in the position to have a clear view to the control booth.
Yes, and you are.
There is an engineer who's been at the station 14 years that I've been here. His name happens to be Dick.
Yeah.
And he doesn't come in all the time anymore. He used to be here every day.
He doesn't
day.
Come all the time?
Oh, my God. Shut up.
Wow.
He used to help out Wade, just periodically. But he used to be here every day. So he walked in, and we were on a break. And I'm like, oh, I love Dick. The guest was seated where Richard is with her back to the window. And she's like, well, that's good to hear.
The context of what we were talking about, though, it fits so perfectly. I remember it just came out of the blue.
All right, so enough about your dick. Let's let's talk about Mary. Okay, so Mary, you're inner critic. Do you have an inner critic?
Yes, I do.
You do. Have you named it, or do you picture it, or what? What's your?
I haven't considered a name, but I say this all the time.
Mm.
Stay under the radar. Mm. Stay. Don't get noticed.
Stay
but
small.
Stay low to the ground. Yeah, and
but that's the
what do
critic,
I do?
Right?
Yeah, that's my critic.
That's the critic.
They're trying to protect me. That's when it pops up.
Well, and that's the thing. Hilda actually means well. I mean, she's a nasty bitch, but she means well. She wants you to stay safe and sound and never, ever fail. Unfortunately, if you listen to her, you're never going to succeed, but she's okay with that. That's fine. As long as you never fail, you're safe. So she does actually mean well, which allows you to have a little empathy for this broad and be like, okay, we don't want to kill you, right? Some people call me the Hilda Slayer. I'm like, no, I'm not killing her.
But Game of Thrones!
Exactly. It gets kind of nuts. But we want to figure out how to put her in her place. So when she's telling you stuff like, you know, stay under the radar, don't speak up, or...
Yeah, and I know that some of that is fine. Okay, somebody taught me, don't offer up information about yourself. Mm. So that's a perfect...
Is that like a bragging thing? Like, don't brag or boast?
Rusty Nails taught me this. He goes, just don't offer up random information about yourself because it most likely will be held against you at another time.
So never be vulnerable.
Yeah, I don't know if, kind of being stealth.
Mm-hmm.
Is it necessary for people to know something about my financial success or, you know what I mean? So it's really hard for me because my world is going out into the world.
Yeah.
So keeping a low profile out in the world kind of doesn't work that well.
Well, yeah, it's got to get in the way of your badassery in a big way.
Yeah, so what I do is I just read everybody's Facebook posts. I don't post. If I post something about me, it's like you'll catch my legs and feet and the sun, the ocean and the sand, but you won't see my face where I am. Isn't that weird?
It's interesting. Weird. So you're never carrying around a selfie stick. That's not your jam.
If I am, it's
pointed in the other direction.
I don't post it on Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Or you just don't.
Interesting.
Yeah. And so what about a theme song? Does your Hilda have a theme song,
a
Jenny?
Theme come up song? With
this is, I'm always thinking. So a theme song. So like if your Hilda had a theme song, what would it be?
Man, that's putting me on the spot. I can't think of something off the top of my head.
The bitch is back.
There you go. That's pretty good.
Right? How about that?
That's really good.
That was right out. See, I'm thinking. That was right off of here. Yeah, that was good. What do you think?
Oh my gosh.
Sure.
You got a theme song for Dick? See, it's like it always works. Like it's like farts and Dick. It always makes you laugh. I think Louis C.K. said it best. He said, "Has there ever been a fart that wasn't funny?" Anyway, if you think about it, I think the answer is no. There has never been one. Nope. All right, so theme song? No theme song for you. No.
Nope. Can't say. Yeah. I'm pretty good at knocking him out. But it's very, as Mary was talking though, that's what I meant by my beginning one too. Similar.
Okay.
I think we're similar in that regard, Mary. We like to shine our light on other people more than we like to shine our light on ourselves. Doesn't necessarily mean we can't or we won't stand up in front of a group, but I just feel like we're very similar. As you were saying that,
you want to make others look good. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then by default.
So it sounds like we need, according between Jenny and Jay, we need to start to mastermind
group. That's good. Nice.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And since you asked, my theme song, and thanks for asking, that's awesome, is Prince's Sexy Motherfucker. Like, you sexy motherfucker. You know that song? You ever heard that
so
song?
So you just not Jenny. Have an inner Hilda in that area.
So it's Hilda actually singing that to me.
Oh,
And then we go and visit Dick, and it's a party. So there we have it. All right, so the question, you've got obviously a lot of different things that you've done in your career, right? So talk just a wee little bit about where you came from and how did you get into this work?
So I started my career out as a government consultant in Washington, D.C. with the fancy heels and the whole nine.
Nice.
And it was lovely, except you know how you get that Sunday night pit in your stomach, you don't want to do this another freaking week? I got that like Saturday morning.
Ooh.
And so I realized it was time to leave.
Friday at 5:01.
Yeah, it's like, oh my God, I'm still doing this. So I was about 30 years old and I realized I have followed all the rules, I've done everything right, I've done everything you're supposed to do, and this sucks.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know what I want to do. I know it ain't this, but I don't know what I want to do. And I realized I wasn't the only one thinking that. So slowly but surely, I started this coaching practice with that particular angst. And over 10 years, it's evolved into, I don't really want to help people figure out what they want to be when they grow up anymore. I want to help people who know what they want but can't get out of their own way to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
I really believe that my job is to instigate audacity in as many humans as possible so I can sit back and watch the world change.
The name of our clothing line.
Right, and instigator.
Instigator,
love that. And so just yes or no, were you pissed off when Barack Obama came out with the audacity of hope? Were you like, that guy stole my thunder? It's like,
I am the audacity. I'm also not terribly happy that there's a audio program called Audacity because I get a lot of tweets about, hey, I can't figure out how to get my levels. And I'm like, I am not that. I'm not that audacity coach.
That's funny.
But for more information, you can visit coachjenny.com. That would be your normal response.
There you go.
Yeah. Actually, all of your – that's what you could say. You could get all of the solutions, all of the answers that you need to figure out how to get your levels correct can be found at coachjenny.com. Yeah? See, I think that makes perfect
sense. Awesome. I'm going to take that little
– that snippet.
Snippet from this audio from you.
Nice. So JENNIE.com. All of your solutions, every problem, every answer that you need can be found at coachjenny.com. How about that? There is a microphone. You can – yeah, what? No. Yeah. No. Yeah, what? All right. Sorry. Right back, right after this.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're in a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, then the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Olscher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step-by-step through Steve's proven formula that has helped so many people get on the right path and clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step to realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting thereinventionworkshop.com today. No more delays. No more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to thereinventionworkshop.com today. That's thereinventionworkshop.com.
Looking to be a successful entrepreneur? The virtual assistant industry continues to be a top choice for those looking to start their own business. The problem can be how to become a virtual assistant. Many turn to the Bible of the VA industry, the book, Virtual Assistant, the series, and it's the perfect guide for office managers, executive assistants, and other administrative professionals looking to make the transition from employee to successful business owner. Go to vatheseries.com to get your copy today.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Olscher.
All right, welcome back to another edition here of Reinvention Radio. Mary Gwiller with today, Steve Olscher hanging out with Jenny Mustafa Juluk.
You love that.
Now it's just a game.
That is just the best name ever. Love that. All right, so so going through the book, I mean, there's a lot of really interesting things there, and you quote a lot of other books and some things, and you didn't quote my book.
Sorry.
I'm sad.
Is your inner Hilda coming out worrying about that?
Yes.
You're very upset.
And mine would be Tyrone, just so you know.
Tyrone.
Yeah.
That's a new one. I like it.
Tyrone is mine.
Tyrone.
Tyrone.
And yeah, Tyrone sings to him, "You sexy mother."
Is it now all coming together for you, Rich? Are we making
weird.
It's all making sense now, yeah?
I definitely want to see Funky Pickle pictures now.
All right. So how do you shut up this inner critic? Like, how do you do it, and what do you recommend your clients do?
Well, the first thing I want to do is get clear and start recognizing when she's talking and attribute that noise to her. That really is the first step. So awareness, you're halfway mm-hmm. there. Mm-hmm. Then from there, we want to come up with comebacks. Now, see, this is where I differ from most of the woo-woo people, right? That's where you're supposed to be sympathetic and lovely and wish it away and write an affirmation or something. No, we want to tell the bitch off. So we want to figure out how we're going to hit her with a comeback. So when she says something like, ooh, you're just not good enough,
mm-hmm.
you say, let me show you how I'm good enough, right? Mm. Like, you come up with a comeback that actually resonates with you, mm-hmm. which you would actually say. So what I always recommend to people is to think about, okay, if you're hearing that message over and over in lots of variations, then it's time to say, okay, write it down. What would you say if your best friend said it to you?
Mm-hmm.
What would you say if your evil aunt said it to you? What would you say if that girl you hated in high school said that phrase to you? How would you want to respond if you weren't being politically correct and you were just going to be yourself?
Yeah, but let's be honest here.
Please.
You, as a gay woman, mm-hmm. have had to be strong, have had to be tough. You've had, you know, otherwise you wouldn't survive, right? I mean, it's
correct.
A little survival mechanism to kind of be that stronger person. There's a lot of folks out there, though, who don't have that sort of strength. You know, they just they can't summon up that kind of, that wouldn't be their response, right?
Correct. Yeah. What would you want your response to be then, right? If you're in that place where I would never say anything. I would talk about them behind their back. That's what I would really do. Okay, fine. But what would you say if you could, if you had the courage to? Because here's the thing. You're saying it to your freaking brain. You're saying mm-hmm. it to a cartoon character named Hilda. Mm-hmm. You can say anything that you want.
Pretty hard, by the way. Yeah.
Thank you.
<Yeah.
laughs> She's great.
So you could summon sort of that other person, if you will, to talk to that critic?
You're summoning you. I want to be clear. Like, there's just two voices. We're not getting too crazy here. So you're summoning you, your truth, your voice, and what you would say to somebody who's putting you down here if you were in the most empowered place. Because mm-hmm. as soon as you replace that thought and you say, wait, I'm more than good enough. I'm a little too much. You know what?
Yeah.
Then how do you feel? Right? That thought becomes an empowered feeling. And then you act based on that feeling. Instead of sabotaging yourself, you're going to do something positive mm-hmm. and forward moving.
But don't we, I mean, there's a fine line, though, between being like ridiculously arrogant
Sure.
And feeling like, hey, don't point at me. but between like being like ridiculously arrogant, like I can do it all, I can do everything, whatever that arrogance sounds like, and being way too sort of, you know, I'm weak, I'm sad, I'm that. How do you know where to draw that line?
Well, the line is before arrogance, but at audacity, right? Oh. So the line is where it's like, I have the audacity, which I recognize is a strength that I don't know where it comes from. That's what audacity is. It's strength where you don't know where it comes from. I have the gumption to say, yes, I can do that. I should do that because I want to do that. I do know, and I do want to. So shut up, Hilda. I got this.
Yeah. Gumption's a great word.
I like that word.
Did you ever see the movie The Holiday?
Yes. I love that movie. It's very lovely. It's like
is that a chick
just
flick?
Candy.
Because I've never seen
it. It's a total chick flick, though.
Okay. Yeah, I've never seen it. And why do you bring up The Holiday? Gumption?
Because she had gumption.
She had gumption. The she watched a bunch of movies, old movies, to see a bunch of really strong broads who had this gumption. And she has this big moment where they're like, what has gotten into you? And she's like, I don't know, but I think it's something like gumption. And it's just this really eureka moment. I love that.
Yeah, it was good.
So let me ask you this. You've worked obviously with a number of clients over the years now. Mm-hmm. What best, like, give us a story, like somebody who was somewhere and then.
Yeah, success story.
Success story. Like, where did you take them and what happened?
Well, one success story that you'll find in the book, there's this woman named Megan. She's fantastic. And when I first met Megan, she said, hi, I would like to hire you to get me a promotion. I'm like, great. What do you do? I'm an advisor one. And I'm like, what would you like to be? An advisor two. And I said, why would you like to be an advisor two? And she said, because that's what's next. And so I was able to push her and say, but why do you want that? Like, do you actually want that? And she's like, well, no, I hate my job, but that will pay more. And from there, we were able to push her and find her creativity and move her to another place. She has a really great story in there about deciding to become a foster mom, even though she's a single woman, and deciding not to wait to get married or whatever you're supposed to do, and to follow her own rules, and how Hilda is just taking her through the ringer about
Live
this.
And kicking.
Right. Hilda's like, are you out of your mind? You're crazy. And she's got her worried about all kinds of really strange details. Hilda comes up with really weird stuff to distract you. Mm. And Megan pulled through. So she is on her way to becoming a foster parent. She has a completely new career where she's in technology. Wow. And she has a side hustle. She's actually the graphic designer who did the book for me. She didn't do the artistry of Hilda. That's an illustrator named Renee. But yeah.
Would you say that she reinvented her life?
Totally reinvented herself. Nice. Absolutely. And I mean, that's really what it's...
See, that was an eye roll. That was absolutely a Mary Goulet eye roll. You saw that, right, Rich?
Yeah, yeah. It was.
It was a head shake, an eye roll. What do I do with this guy?
I got the hands,
I only saw the tail end of it when my eye was coming back.
After you were... Nice.
Mine's were rolling the other way.
Oh, man. All right, so... one more really, really quick thing here, because unfortunately we're going to run out of time. But what you talk about some of the BS beliefs that people have, and they kind of go through those. So what are some of the worst BS beliefs that you feel people have?
One is that they don't know. The phrase "I don't know" is my least favorite phrase. We say "I don't know" as a habit.
Well,
what do you want for dinner?
Habit.
Right. What do you want for dinner? I don't know. What do you want? Mm-hmm. Like just
well, and so Dave does that. Not as much anymore because I'm like.
You
do
beat
know.
That out of him.
I totally did. He would say, well, you know, we could go do this and maybe do blah, blah, blah. I don't know. Yeah. I'm like, you know, just make it.
Right.
Yeah. So now it wasn't even how he felt.
She beat that dick right out of him.
Oh, my gosh. It wasn't even conscious that he was saying it. Mm-hmm. So he wasn't confused. He was just, that's how he ended a sentence.
Well, and a lot of people use what I call hedging language, which it sounds like was in there. You know, I think I might, maybe, perhaps, on some occasion, consider doing something maybe.
They give themselves an
That would be a definite possibility.
Right. I need to think about that. And so we speak this tentative language, which is just like walking around with get-out-of-jail-free cards.
That's like getting a pulse on whether or not people agree with you before you commit to one way or another.
Right.
Interesting.
And one of the ways that you can assert your audacity today is to just know what you freaking want. And even if you don't know, give yourself 2 seconds to say what you think you know and change your mind in 5 minutes because you can do that.
I do that with Olivia with the word sure.
Sure.
Because I said, do you want this? She'll go, sure. And I'll go, do you want this or do you not want this?
Isn't sure a yes,
though? She goes...
Oh,
yes, it's not committal. Please. Yes, please.
It's not. So Shure is sort of
Shure's
a...
Shure's
a version
you.
Of that.
All right.
Yeah.
We'll see.
You know,
it's almost like a word that... Mm-hmm. I'm just going to be receptive to what the world only offers mm-hmm. and not what I...
Sure.
Was that good for you?
A loaf of
sure.
bread.
That's your best.
You're right. Sure. Yeah. I've heard that now. Okay. Thanks, Rich. Now it's all making sense. All right. So go check out Hilda. Tackle your inner naysayer. Get out of your own way and unleash your bedashery, which is different
Kelly
from your
Pelper.
Haberdashery, right? Yeah,
Kelly. She's our badassery.
She is absolutely our badassery. And that would be Coach Jenny, J-E... NNIE. So check out CoachJenny.com and of course check out the book Hilda. It's a really interesting read. Thanks for coming all the way down from LA. For those of you guys who've been subscribing to the podcast version of the show and rating and reviewing it, we really do appreciate you. Check out ReinventionRadio.com for all of our episodes. Mary Goulet. Yay, Mary Goulet!
Yay!
Richote, Steve Osher, and Jenny.
Thanks
for coming down. We will talk to you guys next time here on Reinvention Radio. Take care.
You just got dismantled. Thanks for listening to Reinvention Radio. For more information about the show and your host, Steve Olscher, visit reinventionradio.com.